Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for all that your word contains, Father. And we thank you, O Lord, that the contents of your word are meant to be manifested in our lives. And as the contents of your word are manifested in our lives, we are unveiled as a new creation. We thank you that you are communicating your word to us by the Holy Spirit in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. That you are establishing your word in us in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're bringing your word to fulfillment in us in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you mean to manifest us by the Spirit, Lord, in holiness unto you in the name of Jesus. And in this process, O God, you're unveiling the reality of who you are into each one of us. You're unveiling the reality of all that you are into each one of us. And it is an expression, O God, of all that you mean to explain to us, Father, through Jesus Christ, Lord, the revelation of your name. For he is, by the Spirit, Lord, the unveiling, O God, of who you are and all that you are, so that we may come to know you, so that we may come to love you, so that we may come to belong to you. We are grateful, Father, for this revelation in our hearts. We want to bless you and thank you for the name that is above every name, the name by which, O God, we come alive to you, Father, so that we can live, move, and have our being in you. We bless you for this reality in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are on the series on the names of God, but today I'm going to do something that foundational that we have done before, but I want to present it in a new way. So today we're going to do another tape in the foundation series instead of a tape in our normal Module 8 series. So today I want to just talk about the name of God. What is the name of God and what does it mean to us? All right, let's turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. If you look at your Bibles, you will find that that word Lord is in capital letters. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. Now the Hebrew for Lord is YHWH. And the translators to the Bible have translated that word YHWH, which you see on our wall at the back, as Lord. Alright? So, if we put vowel inserts inside the name YHWH, we get the different names of God. Actually, through history, we have lost the actual name of God. We really don't know what it is, in the sense that we can't pronounce it. For instance, if we put E between Y and H, and O between H and W, and A between W and H, you will find Jehovah, right? That's a common name that we use, Jehovah. But today more and more scholars are coming to the reality that, coming with the idea that God's name is Yahweh, Y-A-H, W-E-H, Yahweh. I personally prefer that name. But whatever it is that is the name of God, God has a name. And he says, I did not make myself known to them by that name before. So God says, I am the Lord, I am Yahweh. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. And God explains what that name means. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Then Moses said to God, Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. If you have an old King James Bible, it reads, I am that I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So God's name is I am who I am, or I am that I am. So So that's the meaning of the name Yahweh, or the name Jehovah. And verse 15, and God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. This is my memorial name to all generations. So God's name is a name that stands forever. And God's name that stands forever is meant to be revealed as a memorial name to all generations. Because all generations will live by who God is and by all that God is. That is the basis of our salvation. God saves us by who He is and by all that He is. David declares that in Psalm 54, verse 1. So if you turn to Psalm 54, verse 1, David says these words. Save me, O God, by thy name, and vindicate me by thy power. Save me, O God, by thy name, and vindicate me by thy power. So this is where the root of salvation comes from. The root of salvation comes from this reality that God saves us by who He is and by all that He is. So David's verse here is very important. He says, save me, O God, by thy name. And what he is saying is that, O God, save me by who you are and by all that you are. And vindicate me by thy power. So this is the basis of our salvation. Because the name Jesus, or the name Yeshua, means Yahweh saves. That's the meaning of the name Jesus. Jesus means Yahweh saves, or Yeshua. Right? So Jesus Christ, the name Jesus, is the manifestation of the name of God. Let's turn to John 17, verse 6. John chapter 17, verse 6. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. So Jesus Christ is making a declaration even as he goes to the cross. I manifested thy name. He gives expression to the name of God. He communicates the name of God. So when we proclaim prayer in the name of Jesus, we are communicating prayer in the reality of the manifestation of the name of God as God has revealed himself to us through Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And the Word that is revealed in and by and through Jesus Christ, through the testimony of Jesus, is a revelation also of who God is and all that God is. Which is why anything revealed in the testimony of Jesus will stand by everything that God is. It literally means that anything revealed to your heart in the Word of God through the witness and testimony of Jesus is actually God's oath to you. He will fulfill it because it stands by who God is and by all that God is. Now, that's the Church of Jesus Christ. We have to move into this reality of the Word that is explained to us in and by and through the testimony of Jesus. And this is why, because if the Word is explain to us in and by and through the testimony of Jesus, that word will stand in our lives forever by who God is and by all that God is. Are you listening? Such a word is the word that is revealed into our hearts. That word becomes the basis of God forming covenant with you and me. So God's name is a covenant name. When God says, I am who I am, He's telling you, I will always be who I am to you. When God says, I am that I am, He's telling you, I will always be all that I am to you. I will never deny my name. I will always fulfill who I am, and I always fulfill all that I am. And that's why Jesus said, I am the truth. Because He manifests the name of God and He says, I am the truth. Because I am the manifestation of God. I am the revelation of God to you. You can only see God in and by and through the revelation of me in your heart. Can you see that? So that's why you find that in the teachings in this ministry, I always base all things on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I always base it on the testimony of Jesus, because if you receive the word of God in and by and through the testimony of Jesus, God will always uphold that word in your life forever. No matter what situation you're involved in, if you remember the word that stands in your heart, written in your heart by the finger of God, by the Holy Spirit, right, in the name of Jesus, that word will always sustain you, because God will always come through. He has to come through, because it is His word that has been given to you in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see that? That's why as He goes to the cross, Jesus Christ declares, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Why at the point of the cross? Why not on the Sermon on the Mount? You understand? Why not on the Mount of Transfiguration? Why talk about the manifestation of the name of God when He is going to the cross? Very simple, because the core revelation of the name of God is Yahweh Yireh. I am who I am. I am your provider. And Jesus Christ is the Lamb that God is providing. And in that Lamb, God is providing you with His name. Can you catch that? He's providing you with His name. Through Jesus Christ, He's providing you with His name. And because He's providing you with His name, you can be saved. So Jesus Christ, right, means Jesus the Anointed One, Jesus the Messiah. And so God gives everything in and by and through Jesus Christ to us. And this is the name of God manifested to us. So when we receive something in the name of Jesus, we are receiving something in the name of God. Right? We are receiving something in the name of God. And when we receive something in the name of God, God will use it in your life to fashion and form covenant in your heart. You know, when God took out the children of Israel from Egypt, the first thing He did was to tell them that they were a covenant people. He brought them to Mount Sinai to make covenant with them. In the Old Testament, He made covenant by law. In the New Testament, He is making covenant in the reality of the law fulfilled in the character and nature of Jesus Christ. Because by law, the covenant, although God was willing to stand by His covenant, the children of Israel were unable to meet the requirements of the law. They failed. But now, through Jesus Christ, God gives us the reality of the law fulfilled. And when something of Jesus Christ manifests in you through the Word of God, something of Jesus Christ explains the Word of God to you, it becomes covenant in the strength and in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will stand over your life simply because what has been given to you has been given to you in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening? And it's so important for us to understand this, that God is doing a work in our lives that is totally different from how He did it in the Old Testament. He's bringing it forth in a fulfilled reality. He's bringing it forth by who He is and by all that He is. So you've got to understand that this is the fundamental difference between the Old and the New Testament. In the New Testament, God is actually bringing forth all things in your life by who He is and by all that He is. He does not expect you to do it in your strength or in your merits. He expects you to understand that in the New Testament, in the Lord Jesus Christ, God is manifesting to you, right, that which is of Him. Therefore, in theory, you must understand that everything that the Bible tells you as a promise is possible in your life simply because God will fulfill it. All He asks you is to set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. All He asks you is to keep your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will do the work. God will take you through the situations and circumstances of your life, and He will accomplish in you what you can't do by yourself. Therefore, this new covenant is a covenant of grace, because God comes to us in the New Testament, grace upon grace. So you remember John 1:16? What does John 1:16 say? For of His fullness we have all received. That fullness is of Jesus Christ. And that fullness of Jesus Christ is an expression of the name of God. And He says, of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Now this is why we are saved by grace. Because God reveals himself to us by grace. Because if he tried to reveal himself to us by merit, we will never be able to stand there. If God came to us and said, I demand that you be righteous before me, we will not make it. We will not make the grade. We will fail. So God comes to us, grace upon grace. But grace is not a cop-out, because God says, by my name, by who I am and by all that I am, but by what I can do in your life, I will save you. So we are saved by the name of Jesus, because the name Jesus is a manifestation of the name of God. So all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. Why? Because God is at work. So the Christian faith is entirely based on what God is able to do with you. It is not based on what you can do in your own self. It is based on your response to God, your willingness to draw from God what you know you don't have in yourself. So if you want to be a Christian and a successful Christian in your, you must always turn to God and seek from him that which he has said he will accomplish with you. So important to understand that. So unlike every other kind of religion in the world, where people try to practice and do something right, in the Christian faith we discover what God has done for us, what God can do in us. We are looking at what God can make in our lives, what God can do with us, what God can bring forth with us. Right? We respond to God. We respond to his power. We respond to his love. We respond to his name. We respond to his witness. We respond to his anointings. We respond to his giftings. We respond, right, to who he is and to all that he is. And if we respond to him, we will change. We live in a world where we are always called to do our best and work our best. And it's a lifestyle that teaches us to be independent of God. When Jesus says, I manifested thy name, God is inviting you to discover what that manifestation can mean in your life. How would it be your life? How would your life be if you lived by God? How would your life be if you functioned in the things you did every day by God? And as you learn how to live by God, you are saved by God. Because God brings freedom and liberty into your life. Because Jesus comes to you with a character and a nature you don't have. And as you receive and realize of Jesus Christ, the character and nature of Jesus, you are transformed, you are changed. You become a new person. You are enabled to do things in a new way. You are enabled to live in a new way, and you are set free. Praise the Lord. You listening? So Jesus' words are so important. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Let's look at verse 26. John 17, verse 26. And Jesus again, as he ends this prayer, he says, I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. Now that reality, I in them, is the reality of God in you. So God reveals himself to you in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is revealed in you by the Holy Spirit. And what is he trying to bring forth here? He says, then you will come to understand what the love of God is. That God is willing to labor with you in a way in which you would never imagine that God would want to work with you. So everything in the Christian faith is a discovery of God. Right? And if you can just understand that, God will transform your weaknesses into opportunities to discover him. And you will grow and you will grow and you will grow, and you will lead a very, very productive and prosperous life. And the prosperity comes from knowing God. You will always be able to overcome. You will always be able to see things in a new light. You will be able to understand things in a very powerful and new way. As God comes alive in you, you will be transfigured in his light. Because God is light. So the name Jesus is the manifested name of God. And the name Jesus is crucial for everything that we do. That's why Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, it will be given to you. Let's turn to that. John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. See, when he goes to the cross, he says, I in them. And now he says, if you ask me in my name, I will do it. Where is he going to do it? From within you. Are you with me? You are a member of his body. Now, if you were to use your hand, how will your hand function? Right? You will use it, it will function from within you. The functionality is from within your body, right? I mean, the same way God Jesus is giving you a picture, you are a member of his body. And he will come through from within you. Can you catch that? Right? So he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Right? Right? And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And he says, the check is this, that it will glorify the Father. And in glorifying the Father, you will come to understand that I'm doing something. Right? That will be the witness and the testimony. Right? That God is being glorified. So you will see and you will understand that within you there will come this desire to glorify God. And you know that this is something that is of Jesus Christ. This is something of his nature and its character, and it's coming alive from inside of you. Are you listening? Right? So we commune with God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And if you are growing in God the right way, you will come to love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You cannot love somebody who is imaginary, okay? If your heart does not experience God, if your soul does not experience God, if your mind doesn't experience God, if your strength doesn't experience God, you will never come to know God and love God. So when God talks to you, he's talking to you in very personal terms. When God talked to the Jews in the Old Testament, he talked through prophets, right? There were select men that God ordained and God raised to speak to the children of Israel. Now he's talking to you from inside of you. And that's what salvation is all about. This realization of the reality of God from within you. So when you bow your heads down, you close your eyes, you realize that the reality of God opens within you. Your inside parts open to God. Right? Your inside parts can touch God. Your inside parts come alive to God. Some of you see visions, some of you, right? Discern, right? What God is saying to you, right? Some of you get impressions. Whatever it is, God is talking, God is, right? Some of you, I mean, all of us experience peace, for instance. Now, peace is one of the names of God, Yahweh Shalom, right? In that peace, God is telling you, I am with you, right? Are you with me? All right. It's because sometimes when God is doing something in our life, it is way beyond what we can understand. And so he gives us this reality of peace within us, correct? Yahweh Mukadesh, the Lord God who sanctifies you. God says, I will sanctify you by who I am and all that I am. Right? But very often we in Christianity say that you must make yourself holy. You can't. Because holiness is something you don't know. You are not holy and I'm not holy. How do you become holy when you are not holy? God has to make you holy. And so God by his name tells you a message. Right? He gives you the entire reality of salvation. In salvation, God sanctifies you. God makes you holy. Can you catch that? Right? I am who I am. I am your healer. Yahweh Rophe or Yahweh Rapha, depending on which vowels you put inside. Right? It means that I am who I am. I am your healer. God says, I have to heal you. If you and I are going to live forever, there has to be a healing process that is continuously working inside of us, right? Are you with me? Right? Because every process of decay that we are currently facing in our bodies has to be reversed in eternity if we are going to stand in eternity. So God is saying, I will heal you by who I am and by all that I am, and it will be a continual process of renewal and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Renewal means the old is made new. Regeneration means the dead is made alive. Right? You know that in your physical body cells are dying all the time. Right? Right? If you don't have these processes of renewal and regeneration, then we will die. But God says, spiritually, that He will manifest those processes in our body. You find that in Titus chapter 3 verse 5. That there is a washing of renewal and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3 verse 5. A washing of renewal and regeneration. Now how does the washing take place? Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26 and 27 says it is a washing of the Rhema word. A washing of the Rhema word. So the Rhema word comes to you by the Holy Spirit. So what does the Rhema word carry? John 6:63 tells us that the Rhema word communicates the spirit and life of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit takes the word that comes to you in the spirit and life of Jesus and He works it into your being and it becomes a process of renewal and regeneration. Do you realize that the entire process is by God? Right? The entire process is by God. So in the new covenant, you've really got to keep your focus on the Lord. You have to really understand that everything is sourced from God. You have to train yourself to look at God and not look at the situations and circumstances in which we live in. Because if you live and measure all things by the situations and circumstances that you live in, you will find that you will be totally blown over by the mess that the world is in. So you have to rise up into the mount of the Lord. And how do you rise up into the mount of the Lord? You set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19 says that if you set your hope on Jesus Christ, your soul is anchored behind the veil. And behind the veil rises the reality of the Most High God. And when God says the mount of the Lord, He's just trying to tell you that God is like an infinite mountain. Right? And you can just keep on going up this mountain as God reveals Himself in your heart. And so God is telling you that, you know, you are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. That in the process of salvation, God is restoring to you the reality of God in your life. And the reality of God in your life makes everything in your life an opportunity to discover something brand new. So often we try to make God conform to our world system. And that's where we miss out, because God is not like what we have in the world. Jesus did not live like we did. Jesus did not think like we did. Jesus' perceptions and perspectives on life were totally different from us. He lived by God. He lived through God. He lived for God. And what He did was amazing. But you must understand that what He came to establish in His life was to give us a blueprint for a new life for each one of us. So never take your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how messed up your life gets, and it can get pretty messed up, isn't it? No matter how messed up or how difficult your situations and circumstances are, fix your eyes on Jesus Christ and pray by the Spirit. Pray by the Spirit and lock into Jesus and say, Lord, I don't understand what's happening in my life. I don't have solutions for what is happening. I'm totally overwhelmed. Please help me. Right? Just come and do what only You can do. Right? And God will always come because you have turned to Him. Hello. God will always come. He may not come the way you thought He should come. That's where many of us go off track. Right? When God doesn't do what we think He should be doing, we take our eyes off Him and we start complaining. The moment you start complaining, you are walking away from faith and you're walking into doubt. And when you walk into doubt, God says, without faith it is impossible to please Me. Now this is why the enemy creates doubt and fear. You must immediately understand when you are paralyzed by fear and you can't even function. The first thing you must understand is that the devil is working and he's trying to paralyze you and make you totally ineffective. Right? And you must turn to the Lord your God and you must understand that you can break through. If you're a spirit-filled Christian, you have instant access to God. Just pray in tongues. You'll have instant access to God. Hmm? I remember the first time I had a manifestation of some of a demon of some kind. I don't want to mention which demon, but I knew who that was. But when that demon manifested, I was just paralyzed with fear. But thank God I could pray in tongues. I just prayed in tongues for 2 hours and it broke. But when that fear came, I knew somebody was going to die. I didn't know that my cousin was fighting for his life in UK. Right? And when that fear broke, he was set free in the UK. Strange things happen. But you must always fix your eyes on the Lord. Right? Because God knows what is happening. As a New Testament Christian, as a New Covenant Christian, you must understand that God is the be-all and end-all of your life. He is the Alpha and the Omega. The moment you lock into God, there is a beginning. And that beginning will be brought to a fulfillment. There will be an ending. And that ending will begin into a new beginning. And it will continue to grow. It's a growth process. It's a growth cycle. God will always be the Alpha and the Omega. Right? And you and I have to learn how to think like this and behave like this when we go through real life situations. It is pointless just simply saying that God is the Alpha and the Omega. It has to come out when the real situations come out in your life. You have to lock into Him and say, Lord, I have to get through this situation. You have to give me courage and strength. You have to remove the fear. You have to remove that which is paralyzing me. You have to take out of me the doubt. You have to take out of me. Maybe you're an angry person and you just blew your top. Oh Lord, you have got to get that anger out of me, and you've got to deliver me, and you've got to bring into my life a new beginning. Right? You must always lock into God. The purpose of the Bible is to explain God to you. Jesus came to make that word consistent with the name of God. And that's what we are trying to teach in this gospel, in this ministry, to teach people to lock into God, so that we all live different lives, we live in different situations and circumstances. The universe that we occupy is different. The professions that we are in are different. The ministries that we are in are different. Our family setups are different. We come from different races. We come with all kinds of baggage down our generations. There is a war to be won. There is freedom and liberty to be brought forth. It can only come from God. Preacher men are fine. We can preach to you. We can pray for you. But your faith must always be locked into the Lord your God. Amen. And you must never shift from that. The moment you start feeling, oh my goodness, God is keeping quiet and I'm all alone, that's wrong thinking. That kind of thinking will take you into a black hole. And what happens in a black hole, right? Everything is absorbed. All matter is absorbed and destroyed, right? The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The first thing he wants to steal from you is your hope. Once he steals your hope, he can kill you. So you must never release that hope. You must always lock that hope into the Lord, so that you will always be able to stand by who God is. It's very crucial. The name of God is what Jesus stands for. The name of God revealed. The name of God manifested. When Jesus says, I manifested thy name, what is he telling you? He's making the name of God practical to us in real things that we face every day. What are the real things that you face every day? Sit down for a few minutes and write it on a sheet of paper. Right? Present it before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you in these situations. Maybe you're a businessman. Maybe you're a professional. Maybe you are having staff problems. Maybe you are in the ministry and you're having problems in the ministry. Maybe you are a student and you're struggling with your work. The source of all solutions is God. And God wants you to understand that, right? Sometimes, you know, we try to look for solutions in the way we think, in the way we do things. If I do it a better way, it doesn't solve anything. It's only a partial solution for a small thing in your life. What happens when new things come and you don't know what the answers are? What happens when you're taken into situations and circumstances you don't even know who is against you? You don't even know who is playing games against you. You don't even know what stands against you. Maybe God takes you and launches you into a business in a new country. You don't know anything about that country. What you know about that country is so little. You don't understand the people of that country. How do you go in and do things in a strange environment? You have to depend on the Lord your God, because God knows all things. And so you must learn how to draw from God. Favor, strength, influence. God can give you influence. God can instruct you as to what is relevant in your product line or in your business line, right? What you should be doing and what you should not be doing. God knows all these things. But so often we just try to depend on our own strengths. And God wants us to depend on who He is and by all that He is. Right? So one of the key realities we are trying to bring forth in this ministry is a total consciousness of God in your life. So that no matter how difficult the situation you go through it is, you will always realize a breakthrough. And when you realize that breakthrough, you will have discovered God in a new way. You would have been strengthened by God in a new way. You will stand before God in a higher plane, and you will be prepared for new things. The fact that God would want to manifest His name in you and me is awesome, brother. Awesome. Right? It is not a small thing. Right? Let me show you another verse. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 22. And the second half of verse 22 reads, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. What does that mean? Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Look at verse 28. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law. That means the word of the oath manifests in the fulfillment of the law. Right? But the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son made perfect forever. So in Jesus Christ there stands a reality of perfection that is forever. Right? A perfection of character, a perfection of faith, a perfection of thought, a perfection of mind, a perfection of attitudes, intents, desires, a total new being, a new man. True man, as the theologians say Jesus is, true man. And it's by oath. Why is it by oath? Because he is manifesting realities out of the name of God. He is bringing into you that which is of God. Are you listening? And when he brings into you that which is of God, that which is of God is pure and perfect. It is indestructible. Are you listening? You know, when you were born again, God did with you something that all the religions in the world can never do. In an instant, He changed you. In an instant, He opened into you a whole new reality. Imagine the power. He gave you a new thought process. He gave you a new reality. He gave you, in some cases, right? New character and nature. Right? He opened to you new doors. He opened to you realities that you never even knew existed before. All in an instant. I mean, how long did it take you to get born again, brother? This is God. He demonstrated what He can do with you. So now you have to allow Him to be God in your life. That's not easy, because we have learned how to be independent of God. It's very sad when we only go to God when we have a problem. Otherwise, we've got no time for God. Right? See, that's what I mean, right? That's why God takes us through the fire, right? Sometimes that's the only way He can catch our attention. When we are helpless, we turn to Him. Otherwise, we are all self-sufficient. We strut around like peacocks as if we know what is happening and we are entirely in charge of my life. I know everything. I mean, how many millions of human beings like that live around the world? I know everything. I am in charge of everything. Human beings who say, I'm a good guy, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't womanize, therefore I'm a good guy. They don't even know what they're saying. I sat with someone a couple of days ago who was telling me about morality. I don't think he even understood what he was talking about. Right? We can philosophize morality over society, but when it comes to our own lives, we live some other kind of life. Huh? And we compare ourselves with another guy and we say, oh, I'm okay, man. I'm better than most people, so what's wrong with me? Yeah? So it's only when we get into trouble and we don't have solutions that God gets our attention. That's sad, isn't it? So why can't we make him part of our lifestyle? And that's what you are learning to do as a Christian. You're learning how to break through that disobedience. You're trying to break through that spirit of independence. You're learning how to be dependent on God. You're learning how to live with God. You're learning how to live through God. You're learning how to live in God. That's what Jesus is doing in your life. You can do things in Christ Jesus. You can do things by Christ Jesus. You can do things for Christ Jesus. You can do things with Christ Jesus. Right? And it's something he wants you to learn. He wants you to learn all the time so that you will live by him rather than live by yourself. What stands behind that is this reality of the word of the oath. Anything you take in Jesus Christ is an oath. Anything you draw and open in Jesus Christ and you're willing to persevere with this, it is guaranteed it will come through. Right? It is guaranteed it will come through because it stands by who God is and by all that God is. Can you see that? And that's what the battle is, right? The battle is to stop you from getting inside there, because once you get into that kind of reality, you will lead an indestructible life. Now, I'm pointing to things that seem to be very high. But you must understand that this is how you were born again. Right? You were born again in that kind of a reality. God brought into you a new nature. Some guys just stop drinking. Some guys just stop womanizing. Some guys just stop taking drugs. Right? Hello? Just in an instant like that. Right? You were born again and those habits were broken. Right? And what is God trying to demonstrate to you? Now, this is what I am like. This is the power I carry. Now, do you want that to manifest in every facet of your life? And that is a choice you have to make, because we are unfortunately... Some of us think unfortunately. We are free will creatures. Now, being free will creatures has got two sides to it, you know. It's like a person who knows he's overeating and he loves his food, and then he knows that he cannot eat so much, right? You know, and it's not so easy. You know, sometimes you wish you didn't have a free will, you know, that God will just come and just do something. You know, make me hate food or something like that. But really, you know, you need to really allow God to become part and parcel of your life all the time, right? In your relationships, right? Make God the centerpiece of your relationship. And you will find that you can love your wife and love your husband in spite of their many weaknesses. You can overcome the difficulties of having difficult children. And because you can overcome, the atmosphere in the home changes, the atmosphere over your children changes. Right? Because now God is in action. And God can reach into their hearts and fashion their thoughts in a way that you can't even begin to think of. God can bring a realization into someone who is very rebellious, right? And he can bring that realization into a person's life. Maybe you have a difficult husband and you're trying to convert him in your own philosophies. You want him to do exactly what you want him to do. That's probably why God is not hearing your prayer. Now, if you could just surrender your husband to God and said, Lord, I want him to do whatever you want him to do, he probably will find the changes coming in his life. But what do you want? I want my husband to just dance to my tunes. How on earth can God answer such a prayer? We bring up children, and sometimes we want our children to do exactly what we want them to do. How can God answer such a prayer? Yeah? That's a wrong intention. Your children are to do what God wants them to do. So when you start coming alive to the name of God, then the purposes of God begin to be supreme. But so often we want what we want. And God tells us, I did not make creation so that you can do what you want, because the mess that you are in is because the entire human race wants to do what it wants. And that's the real root of the problem. So the manifestation of the name of God comes with it, comes with an entire new lifestyle, an entire new thinking process, entire new nature and character, all consistent with who God is. And in that reality, God manifests salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. So Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of your faith. Why is he the author and finisher of your faith? Can't we just have faith in God and won't it work? It won't work. It never worked in David's life. He killed Goliath, but when he saw the woman bathing, everything went outside the walls, right? Correct? He had no answer to the woman, right? Why? Because he could not exercise his faith in that area. Why? Because he didn't want to. The woman looked so good. Right? So he said, I'll get rid of his husband too. Right? He who was so concerned with the things of God, he who was exposed to an intimacy with God, just forgot all that in a moment of time. What was the problem? That faith comes with the right nature as well, right? If you have a nature of a snake, then you will exercise your faith like a snake. Am I right? Yes. And that's the essential problem. That's why Jesus has to become the author and finisher of our faith. It's not just a question of having faith in God. You understand what I'm trying to say? Right? In the Christian faith, we just simply say, have faith in God. We are justified by faith. By whose faith are you justified? We turn around to Abraham and say, Abraham was justified by faith. Yes. Up to a point. David was justified by faith up to a point, and he killed Goliath. But where that faith did not work, he was not justified. Yeah? So Jesus comes with a total package, right? So you are meant to be fashioned and formed in his image and in his fullness. Why? So that everything that is of faith will be of him. So that that faith will stand and that faith will justify you all the time in every situation and circumstance. So he has to be the author and finisher of your faith. So when you work, what faith do you work by? Faith in yourself? Let me put it to you, that's the wrong kind of faith. Because it won't last, brother. Because there will come a point somewhere along your career when your faith in your abilities will fail. There will be situations that God will take you through where your faith will not even know what you're facing. That's why Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Are you with me? So you have to learn how to realize all things by the Spirit in Christ Jesus, so that God can work into you that awesome miracle that is in Christ Jesus. What's that awesome miracle? The revelation of God in his righteousness, the revelation of God in his holiness, the revelation of God in his peace, the revelation of God in his joy, the revelation of God in his holiness, the revelation of God in his goodness, the revelation of God in truth, the revelation of God in, right? Can you see that? In his provision, the revelation of God in his presence, the revelation of God, right? In every facet of every word can be related to God. Wisdom, you can relate it to God. If you understand wisdom that comes out of the name of God, that wisdom will take you into amazing realities. So you just take all the good words that you find in Scripture and you take them and you place them against the heart of your God and you see what it means. It's a totally different reality. And when you take it and you place it against the heart of God, it becomes guaranteed. It will be fulfilled in your life. Obviously, it will take a process of change, but God will do it. God will do it. Maybe you're a frightened person. Take that word, courage, and put it against the heart of God and say, Lord, I want the courage of the lion and the lamb. And God will build it inside of you, step by step. It won't come magically. It will come step by step by step by step. And you will find that God will take you. Right? Today the papers talked about the richest man in Singapore who died. Right? And it said how he had tremendous strength. He was not only intelligent, he had tremendous courage to make the right kind of financial decisions. He was able to hold to the right time. Right? So it was not a question of just being intelligent. It was also a question of having guts. So we have everything in Christ Jesus, the total package of someone who is willing to face death knowing that he will rise from the dead. Amen? That he will rise into a new beginning. So for the joy set before him, he was able to take the suffering. How different our lives will be when we can make the sacrifices knowing that those sacrifices will bear dividends in eternity. So often we are not willing to do that. We are afraid of pain. We are afraid of difficult situations. Right? But you have to fight the battle. If you don't fight the battle, where is the victory going to come from? You've got to overcome the enemy who holds you in fear. You've got to overcome the enemy who tells you it can't be done. You've got to overcome the enemy in order to be able to see what God can do with you. So welcome to the name of God. Right? So, let me show you something in Psalm 91 before we end. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. It says here, "For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place." Isn't that interesting that you can make the Most High God your dwelling place? Praise the Lord. Verse 14. "Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name." If you know the name of God, you will stand securely on high. Right? Praise the Lord. "He will call upon me and I will answer him." Not "I may answer him." You know, sometimes we ask God for certain things and he doesn't come through. You know why? Because your focus is not on him, your focus is on things. It is already written in the Word of God that God will withhold no good thing from you. That anything you ask in his name will be done for you. It will be given to you. So the key is to fix your eyes on him. Not to fix your eyes on the problem. Not to fix your eyes on the solution. Not to fix all your eyes on the gifting. Not to fix your eyes on the anointing. But to fix your eyes on the Lord. Are you with me? "Yes, I have a problem with fear." The answer is not to fix your eyes on the healing or the fear. The reality is that you must fix your eyes on the Lord and say, "Lord, you bring forth the change that needs to be done." Maybe that fear is because you have got funny imaginations. So God will not only remove the fear, in the process of removing the fear, he will transform your thought processes, because your thought processes are going in the wrong place. That's why that fear comes through. Your thought processes are taking you into the playing fields of the evil one. And he is the father of fear. He's the father of lies. He feeds the lie and he brings the fear. Yeah? So fix your eyes on the Lord. So the character and nature of God is so important. When you read the Bible, fix your eyes not on the miracle of Elijah, but the God of Elijah. Not on Moses, but on the God of Moses. Hello, he took an 80-year-old man and he took him and made him go out and take out 2.5 million people from the strongest power on earth. Hello, that was not the greatness of Moses, that was the greatness of his God, that he could take an old man who was finished looking after his father-in-law's sheep, not even his own sheep. Hello, Moses was zero before God touched him. I mean, he was absolutely a failure. In every sense of the word, he was a total and comprehensive failure. And God took that old man and he transformed him. So when you see God do that, you have to look at God, not look at Moses and say what a great man he was. Now don't get me wrong, he was a great man. God made him a great man. Hello? God made him a great man. Huh? Peter the apostle was a great man, but God took that loudmouth fisherman and he made him an apostle, man. That's what you must understand. He took that guy who betrayed Jesus Christ and made him the leader of the church. Isn't that something else? Huh? So what about you? What can this God do with you? But you are looking at your failures and looking and remembering your failures and how could things could have been and should have been and would have been. If I had married only her, everything would have been fine and dandy. Oh no, it would not have been, brother. Yeah? We can't live like that, huh? You've got to fix your eyes on the Lord. When you fix your eyes on the Lord, you will rise above the world. You will rise above the world reality. And you will see it like an eagle. You know, the chicken only sees the worm in front of it. The eagle has a perspective. Right? An aerial perspective that is totally different. Amen? Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you have given us your name. And that's what the name of Jesus means to us, that you have chosen to give people like us the name that is above every name. That in the name of Jesus, we will unveil your name. That as we come to know Jesus, we will have the key of David that will unlock who you are and all that you are. That is awesome, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for that awesome reality that you mean to manifest and bring to a practical experience in our everyday life. So teach us, Holy Spirit, how to fix our eyes on our Father. How to fix our eyes on Him in the name of Jesus. How to stand before our God, not in our merits, but in the merits of Jesus Christ. Oh God, we always bring our own weaknesses before you, Lord. We look at ourselves and we condemn ourselves because we are so weak. Failing to see the cross and failing to see the completed work of the cross. The finished work of the cross. Teach us to see what Jesus has done for us so that we can stand confidently before you, knowing, Lord, that you are able to deal with our weaknesses, that you are able to change us. You will bring us out into the mount of the Lord and you will make us do something in a brand new way. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bow before you and thank you. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for the name Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for working that name into reality within us. Thank you for writing in your word that the name of Jesus is a guarantee, that in the name of Jesus there is a reality called the word of the oath, Lord. And you will always come through, Father, because you will never deny yourself. That's exciting, Lord. So thank you for blessing us. Thank you for this word that you have spoken into our lives. Teach us to live in it all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.